Alrighty.
Should we start
the cafe?
The cafe.
This is my favorite bit of the evening, the day.
Oh.
My favorite. This is my favorite bit of the day because I'm here in the cafe.
You're so sweet. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the last cafe, the year end cafe of a very interesting year, right?
It's the Christmas cafe.
It's a Christmas cafe.
I don't think we should review the year in any negative way. It's been a weird year. Yes, it's not what we expect. It's not how it usually is. But we've all had a chance to do something interesting. With Duran Duran, we've been carrying on with the album. And, you know, we've had a chance to be introspective and to really experiment without the pressure of time, without the pressure of scrutiny. Mm. And we've got Whoosh Radio up and running.
That was a highlight of the year for certain. But I am gonna, since we've been doing this for so long, I probably am gonna ask you some questions, but I feel like in 2020, nothing has to be specific to the year because I don't think anybody listened specifically just to one song that came out this year because people were home and can listen to it anything they want. And gosh, I don't know anyone who listened to more music than you. So maybe we should start with that. It'll be hard for you. It'll be very hard for you, I know. But what's the most exciting music you've heard this year?
I'd actually say it's a track by an act who calls themselves For Those I Love. And the track is I Have a Love That Will Never Fade. And it is extraordinary. It is it's you have to listen to it. I mean, it was such a big deal for me. I wasn't sure about the spoken word. It really brought it home to me how powerful it is, especially when you've really got something to say. I also was really turned on by the artist, another Irish artist, Sinead O'Brien. She is another spoken word artist, but she does it with an incredible kind of rock guitarist. Anyone else? I mean, there have been so many great highlights. Blood Orange is a highlight. Caveman is a highlight. Working Men's Club. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on. There are so many.
There are so many. And as you said, when we started our cafe, I think one of the most exciting musical experiences of 2020 is Whoosh. I mean, you had this little idea and you developed it into something that people really want to hear. So
right.
Yeah. Good on you, mate.
I'm very pleased with it and I'm invested in it and I want to continue doing it and I enjoy it. I enjoy it and I want to keep it alive, you know?
Yeah, I do know. I'm excited to be part of it. What did you see any movies this year? Not necessarily, of course, that came out this year, but any movie that really hit you in the gut?
Yeah, I saw Jojo Rabbit.
Oh,
I love that movie. I still haven't got the family to sit down and watch Parasite, so I don't know what that's like. But Jojo Rabbit was amazing. Just the whole what an incredible piece of work by that guy. What's his name? Waititi?
Yeah. Waititi?
I think it is. Is he Hawaiian?
No, New Zealand.
Polynesian. New Zealand. Well, yeah. I was saying Polynesian. Polynesian. That is Polynesian, really. Maoris are Polynesian.
Yeah.
He was amazing in it. But everything about it was incredible. The kid, Adolf Hitler, the girl.
Yeah.
I mean,
everything.
And Sam Rockwell. Gee.
Oh,
I mean, he was so great. It's just a brilliant, brilliant movie, and it just meant so much. And I loved that it was the war from a kid's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it really
is as perfectly valid as any documentary, in a way, you know, or any other film or any other. No, that's wrong. No, because documentary is documentary. It's as valid as any other film about World War II.
Yeah. You know, When it first became available, which was in 2020, Tanner was home with the flu, and I had an advanced copy. And midway through, I wondered if it was right to be watching it with someone his age. But I'm so happy that I did. I think if I had known more about it, I might have made the choice not to, and that would have been a regrettable choice.
Why? Because his mum was his mum died.
Yeah, of course. Tanner didn't catch it right away, and then he did. Then he went in his brain; it clicked, and he's like, "Wait, you know." So it was just a fantastic movie.
But I mean, it's a bit like, isn't that a bit like Bambi's mother dying in Bambi? You know, it's a really tragic moment.
It's really
tragic. As a kid, you really feel it.
Yeah.
And I think that it had the same kind of impact as that. I you know, as a kid, the Bambi is the character you identify with. You identify yourself with that character. I think they did the same thing with this.
Yeah.
But then there's a reason for it, because then you realize, you know, then it's the horror of the Nazi regime is really being brought. That was the first time the kid really got what the horror of the Nazi regime was.
Right. Because, yeah, he had been, you know, wanted to be part of it because it's what he learned.
Yeah. Well, he was, and he wanted to be part of the group. But everything that girl said, he wanted to wear a uniform, wanted to be part of a group, he wanted to have friends, you know. But when it encroached so much into his life by taking his mother away from him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great film.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Everybody should see that film.
What are some of the best TV shows you've binged in 2020?
Oh, without question, The Queen's Gambit on Netflix.
Mm.
Absolutely genius. I loved every minute of it. I think Anya Taylor-Joy is just an incredible performer. She can do so much. I mean, she's a real, real talent. She's kind of like a modern Audrey Hepburn. Not Audrey Hepburn, Catherine Hepburn.
Mm.
She's like Catherine and Audrey Hepburn rolled into one.
I saw a little Betty Davis in her, actually.
Really? That is interesting. I mean, her look, she's got a completely unique look. Completely unique. It's just wonderful that somebody who looks like that is part of the human race.
Have you ever seen her in any other films? Did you see The Goat?
I haven't seen The Goat. I saw one called The Witch.
That's it. The Witch. I'm sorry. The Goat was the bad thing in that movie. Yeah. So, that was scary, that movie, right?
It was very frightening. And I saw her also. She was in a thing that they show. It's a BBC production in the UK called The Miniaturist, which, if you haven't seen, is brilliant.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Do you know how to play chess?
I do.
Are you good?
No, I'm kind of 9-year-old level. I'm the kind of level of the kids she beat when she was 5.
What is one of the best books or books on tape you've heard, read in 2020?
That's a big question. Nice.
It is.
That's a very big question. I'm still reading Milkman.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
I better finish it, right?
Okay. You should.
I will. I'll make a finish. Let me just have a look at my Audible library, which is just full of great things.
Okay.
Now I actually think the best thing I read.
Hmm.
Was actually, it's got a name. There's 9 books. There's 9 books written by Len Dayton.
9?
Yeah, 9. It's a set of 9 books.
Goodness.
By Len Dayton. The first one is called, I think it's called Berlin Game. But before that, there's Winter, A Berlin Family, which is a kind of, let me just check something out here. It's a kind of prequel to all of those. That's very good. Len Dayton, the Berlin books, I think they're called. But also it's a series called the Bernard Sampson novels. As I said, there's 9 of them in sets of 3, really. And that was just, he writes so, Len Dayton, I'd always thought he was a bit of a kind of airport. I always thought he was a bit of an airport writer, but he's fantastic. I mean, I'd kind of stayed away from spy novels apart from Le Carre. But this is genius. And and there's so many of them, and it goes on. You can really get stuck into it. I thoroughly recommend it. And it's great on audiobook.
How many of them have you read or listened to?
I've listened to all 9 of the Bernard Sampson novels and the prequel, which is called Winter, a Berlin story or Berlin family.
Go, dude. How about podcasts? You're my podcasting friend.
The podcasts. I like true crime podcasts. I think it's the one. I don't know if I did that this year or last year, but it's called The Missing Crypto Queen. That's a brilliant, brilliant podcast.
Yes. I think my friend just told me about that. What's it about again?
Oh, it's about this, there's this woman from, I think she's Bulgarian actually.
Yeah.
Called, can't remember her name either because it's not in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And she launched a so-called cryptocurrency on the world, which people bought into thinking it would be the next Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a Bitcoin or a proper cryptocurrency in any way whatsoever. It was just a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, that sucks.
And she disappeared completely, had plastic surgery, changed her face. It's so interesting. But I mean, the people lost all of their savings. It's terrible.
Did she go to jail?
They can't find her. Ruta. Dr. Ruta something.
I think I know about this. Did I also tell you? Wait, now I'm going to recommend one to you. Give me one second. I think I can find it quickly. It sounds a little bit like this. Hold on. Now I'm looking through my stuff. It's a podcast called Chameleon, the Hollywood Con Queen.
Chameleon, the Hollywood
Con Queen.
Let me just get that. I'm gonna. Will you just email it to me?
Yes.
Okay. This is the one I was talking to about. Hang on. Can I just finish about this one? The Missing Crypto Queen is about somebody called Dr. Ruja Ignatia. Ruja Ignatova. I think she's Bulgarian. Really interesting. And what's one you said?
Oh, it is called Chameleon, the Hollywood Con Queen. And let's see. It seems to be about aspiring Hollywood trainers, photographers, makeup artists are offered the film job of a lifetime by a legendary Hollywood female producer. They go to the job in Jakarta, where they are led on a wild goose chase and conned out of thousands of dollars. Over hundreds of people have fallen for this scam.
Wow.
And they finally just busted the guy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I love these kind of stories. They're fascinating.
So yeah, I'll send it to you. Something that happened in 2020 that you hope never to experience again.
I hope I never experience coronavirus again, because that's pretty horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like lockdown either, but we don't know when that's going to happen at the moment. It's so easy, isn't it? I mean, we've had a shit year in some ways. We've all had to try and make the most of it. But there's a lot of things I'm very happy. I'd be very happy not to repeat again.
Mm. Something you did in 2020 that you hadn't done in a very long time.
I listened to loads and loads and loads of new bands.
It's true. You
and
did.
And new artists.
You did. You really made a
thing
to yourself. The event of 2020?
Oh, I actually think the event of 2020 was that awful George Floyd. George Floyd. Very negative. I'm very sorry, but it is.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're 100%.
It's George Floyd. George Floyd getting murdered by the policeman, and the whole Black Lives Matter movement. How that developed and came out of virtually nothing. Well, I know it's actually happened before, it was already around, but I think that was the real event. The awakening of the world to racial and social injustice, I think. And I also think that's probably one of the big reasons why Joe Biden got in.
Right, because people couldn't stand it anymore.
People have had enough.
I'm so proud of you, though. I must say, so proud of you. What are you looking forward to the most in 2021?
What I'm looking forward to most is getting back on the road with Duran Duran, playing new shows, releasing our new album. We've got the British Summertime Festival lined up in Hyde Park for July the 11th. If you want a date to look forward to for me, that's it.
Well, this has been a fantastic year-end conversation mm-hmm. with you. Yeah. It is. You're always so easy to talk to. Thank you so much. When will I see you back in the cafe? Let me think. I think I see you in March. Okay. So 3 months from now, who knows? Who knows what will happen?
I'll get my cup clean. Okay, by then.
Your cup clean. And I want to, on behalf of the whole fan community, I want to wish you and your family a very happy holiday and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Yes, and I'd like to leave you with a little message from me, Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran. I'm wishing you a merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah. Diwali comes too, and any winter festival. Happy holly, happy holly, happy holiday.